إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to discuss the topic of the person who knows the virtues, the one who knows the virtues of doing good deeds and yet does not act upon it. And this was a question that was posed to Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah, concerning specifically the students of knowledge, who have knowledge of the virtues of good deeds and yet may not act upon them. But alaykum salam. But we want to say that, and as every single Muslim, especially the people of Sunnah, should consider themselves to be a student of knowledge, in that all of the people of Sunnah understand the importance of knowledge and to some degree or another should be striving to seek knowledge. No one should be content to remain in a condition of ignorance, but rather it is obligatory upon every Muslim to seek knowledge, and therefore the people of Sunnah are known for this, for seeking knowledge. The issue here is not whether or not someone is seeking knowledge, but whether or not they're acting upon the knowledge that they have. So the question was asked, a brother asked, indeed many of the students of knowledge today, يَعْرِفُونَ كَثِيرًا مِّن فَضَائِلِ الْأَعْمَالِ وَأَجْرَهَا وَمِنْهَا قِيَامَ اللَّيْلِ وَلَا يُطَبِّقُونَ هَذَا. That many of the students of knowledge today, and of course that includes every one of us, inshaAllah, many of the students of knowledge today, they know many of the virtues of good deeds, and they know the reward for these good deeds. From amongst those good deeds is Qiyam al-Layl, and he's standing in the night in prayer. Which one of us doesn't know the excellence and virtue and reward of standing in the night? Yet the questioner is saying, even though these people, they know about this good deed, standing in the night, and they know its reward, yet they do not act upon it. Such that they know, but they don't act. They have knowledge, but they don't act upon the knowledge. So the Shaykh, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him, he said, Al-Amal التي جاءت النصوص ببيان فضلها قسمان. The good deeds, or the deeds which have come to us by way of the textual evidences, the nusus of Quran and Sunnah, has brought to us the clarification of their excellence or their virtue. These types of deeds, they are divided into two divisions. Qismun wajibun. One division are those acts which are obligatory. So it is incumbent فَعَلَى الْمَرْءِ الْمُسْلِمِ سَوَاءً كَانَ عَالِمًا أَوْ غَيْرَ عَالِمٍ أَنْ يَعْتَنِي بِهِ وَأَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِي ذَلِكَ وَأَنْ يُحَافِظَ عَلَيْهِ كَالصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ وَأَدَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ وَغَيْرِهِمَا مِنَ الْفَرَائِضِ. So the Shaykh, he said the first division are those deeds which have been mentioned to us in the Qur'an and Sunnah, and their excellence and virtue and reward has been mentioned to us in the Qur'an and Sunnah. They are from the category of deeds which are obligatory. And the Shaykh says, so it is incumbent upon the Muslim, no matter whether he is a scholar or other than a scholar. So this includes all of us. Other than the scholar, includes all of us. None of us are exempt from that. None of us are outside of that. It is incumbent upon the Muslim, whether or not he is a scholar or other than a scholar, that he observe carefully these matters, yani these acts which have been made clear that they are obligatory upon us, and that he fear Allah concerning them, meaning in the fulfilling of these obligatory duties, and that he be protective of them, yani that he guard and preserve these deeds and not yani allow them to escape from him, like the five obligatory prayers, yani the five daily prayers, and like the fulfillment of the obligation of zakat, the obligatory zakat, and other than these two matters from the fara'id, the obligatory matters. It is what incumbent upon the Muslim to observe these duties carefully, to give care to them and to protect and preserve them. وَقِسْمُ mustahab, and there is another division, that is those things which are mustahab. Yani, they are not obligatory, but they are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Things that are commendable, praiseworthy, yani that we are encouraged to do. Like التَّحَجُّد بِاللَّيْل, yani like the prayer when a person gets up in the night and prays in the middle of the night, or in some part of the night, before dawn. And like Salatul Duha, yani the prayer in the morning, after sunrise, between sunrise and noontime, and midday. And that which is similar to them. Yani the Shaykh is saying, this second category are those which are mustahab, those things that are beloved to Allah, like standing in the night and the prayer in the forenoon or in the morning after sunrise. فَالْمَشْرُوعَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. So what is legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the mu'min, for the believer, in reference to these acts which are not obligatory, but they are mustahab. What is legislated? What Allah has legislated for the believer, and يَجْتَهِدْ فِي ذَلِكَ وَيَحْرِسْ عَلَيْهِ, that he strive in these matters, and he make every effort in these matters, and that he seek them out eagerly, diligently. And if the mustahab acts, the Shaykh is saying, alayna al-ijtihad, it's incumbent upon us to strive in these matters and make every effort and not be lazy and careless in these matters, but rather be diligent in seeking them out. وَلَا سِيَّمَ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ لِأَنَّهُمْ قُدْوَةٌ. Especially the people of knowledge. Especially the people of knowledge, because they are the example, the model for others to follow. Now, of course, the Shaykh, by saying especially the people of knowledge, he doesn't mean that whoever is not a scholar, they are exempt from it. He's saying especially, more so, the people of knowledge. And we can add to this that we say more so the people of Sunnah than the other people. The people of Sunnah are expected more so to observe these matters and to be careful with them and to observe them carefully and to be diligent in seeking them out. Walaykum salam. Because how can you be the people of Sunnah and then you don't practice the Sunnah? You don't give care to the Sunnah. And even the common people from amongst the people of Sunnah, they're also an example. Because people know that you're from the people of Sunnah, they look at you to see what you're doing. Because they know these are the people who are known for the Sunnah. So if they want to know what's right, they look at the people of Sunnah, if they care. However, if a person is occupied, busied, distracted from doing some of these things due to engaging in other deeds or acts, or the person leaves them off, بعض الأحيان, sometimes he leaves off these extra, voluntary, obligatory, commendable, praiseworthy, mustahab deeds. If a person sometimes becomes occupied with other things from them, or sometimes leaves them off, then this doesn't harm him, because it is nafila, it's voluntary, it's not obligatory. لكن من صفات أهل العلم والأخيار الإناية بهذا الأمر والمحافظة عليه كالتحجد بالليل وصلاة الضحى والرواتب إلى غيرها إلى غير هذا من وجوه الخير. And this is the end of what the Shaykh said. يعني that the people who know about these virtuous deeds and sometimes leave them off, sometimes, or become occupied with other matters that distract them from them, sometimes, then there's no blame on them, because these are voluntary acts, they are not obligatory. However, from the characteristics of the people of knowledge, the Ahlul Ilm, and the people of goodness and righteousness, Al-Akhyar, meaning the people of knowledge who are known, who have knowledge, and the other people who might not be people of knowledge, but they are from the people of righteousness and goodness, and the people of Sunnah who are upon righteousness and goodness, then what is incumbent upon them and what is from the characteristics of the people of knowledge and the people of righteousness is al-inaya bihadha al-amr, that they pay careful attention, they give care and attention to the matter of observing the right, the good deeds of righteousness that are not necessarily obligatory, but they are commendable and they are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they guard and preserve the observation of these deeds, like the tahajjud prayer in the night, or the salatul duha in the early morning hours, after sunrise until noon, and the rawatib, those prayers which are performed regularly before or after the five obligatory prayers in the day. And other than that, from the aspects of goodness or righteousness that are known in Islam. So this is the answer that the Shaykh gave, and whoever will reflect upon this will understand that yes, there are some deeds which are obligatory and others which are not. However, even those deeds which are not obligatory, if they are loved by Allah, it is incumbent upon us, and it is from the characteristics of the people of knowledge and the characteristics of the people of goodness and righteousness that they give care to these matters, and that they guard and protect the observation of these matters. And this shows that a person, has concern for their deen, that they observe the things of sunnah, even though they may not be obligatory. So, from amongst, that's the end of the Shaykh's answer, but I want to go back to the topic that we were discussing in our last sitting, and that is the importance of Quran. Indeed, from amongst the most important deeds that a person can do is to attend to the Quran, to have care and attention to the Quran. This is what we were talking about in the last sitting. And the Shaykh has mentioned here in his answer, the commendable deeds like tahajjud prayer in the night and salatul duha and things like this. And we want to say that, yes, but in addition to that, we want to also go back to the Qur'an. Because the Qur'an, has been abandoned, as the Prophet ﷺ, observed, that his people, that the people have abandoned the Qur'an. So we want to talk about this a little bit, that it is commendable, that it is mustahab, to be frequent and increase in the recitation of the Qur'an. And we want to go back to the issue of abandoning the Qur'an, which we have discussed previously. And what does this entail? And what does the Qur'an require of us in terms of giving attention and care to it? So the question was asked to Al-Lajna Al-Da'ima, the Permanent Committee of the Scholars of Saudi Arabia. Reading the Qur'an, is it obligatory or mustahab? And we just got finished hearing what? That there are some deeds which are obligatory and some deeds which are mustahab. All of them contain khair, and they are rewardable. But the question is asking, is reading the Quran obligatory or is it mustahab? And what is the ruling concerning the one who abandons the Quran? Is it haram or is it makruh? Is it absolutely forbidden to just abandon the Quran or is it just makruh? So the committee of scholars, the legend of Daim and the permanent committee, they said, Alhamdulillah wahda, wa salamu ala rasulihi, wa alihi, wa sahbihi, wa sallam, wa ba'd. And the praise belongs to Allah alone, and the salam, the peace, be upon His messenger and his family and his companions. And after this, they said, أولاً أنزل القرآن أنزل الله القرآن للإيمان به. That Allah has revealed the Quran for the people to believe in it, to have iman in it. So this is the first important thing in reference to the Quran. Allah has revealed the Quran so that the people will believe in it. It is incumbent upon us to believe in it. وتعلم, and that they learn it. وتلاوة, and that they recite it. وتدبر, and that they reflect and ponder over it. والعمل به, and that they act upon it. والتحكيم, that they take it, yani rulings and judgments from the Quran. وَالتَّحَاكَمْ إِلَيْهِ, and that if they have disputes amongst themselves, that they make it a judge between them. وَالْإِسْتِشْفَى بِهِ, and that the person, that the Muslims seek healing from it. Seek healing from it. From the sicknesses of the hearts and the filth and corruption of the hearts. إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْحِكَمْ الَّتِي أرادها الله من إنزاله. And then he said, and to what other things, the other things that are from the wisdom of Allah for which He has revealed, for which He has sent down this Quran. So the Shaykh, he mentions here 8 things from amongst the purposes or objectives of the revelation of the Quran. He mentions 8 of them, and that is to believe in the Quran, to learn the Quran, to recite the Qur'an, to reflect upon the Qur'an, to act upon the Qur'an, to take our rulings and judgments in our deen from the Qur'an, and to make it a judge between us in our disputes, and to seek healing from it, healing for the hearts, from the sicknesses and filth and corruption of the hearts. And these are some of the things, he said, and there are others besides this, due to which Allah has revealed the Qur'an. So a human being might abandon the Qur'an in the sense that he doesn't believe in it. He doesn't listen to it. He doesn't pay heed to it. And this is one level. This is the absolute abandonment of the Qur'an. Hajr of the Qur'an, the person who doesn't even believe in it. He doesn't listen to it. He doesn't pay heed to it at all. That is absolute total abandonment of the Qur'an. The other type of people, he said, وَقَدْ يُؤْمِن بِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَتَعَلَّمُهُ. But another person might believe in the Qur'an, but he doesn't learn it. Now the first level, alhamdulillah, inshallah, none of us are from that level, right? We believe in the Qur'an for sure. But now, here's where all of us come into play. We have to ask ourselves, are we from those people who believe in the Qur'an, but yet we do not learn it? We don't study it. We just believe in it. We just read it in Ramadan, maybe, if we read it then. He said there are people who believe in the Qur'an, but they don't learn it. And perhaps another type of person is the one who learns the Qur'an. Yani he believes in the Qur'an and he learns the Qur'an, but he doesn't recite it. He doesn't take time for recitation of the Qur'an. You don't see him ever pick up the Qur'an and open the Qur'an. He doesn't find himself opening the Qur'an for recitation, for reading and recitation. And another group of people, he said, another type of person is the person who recites the Qur'an, meaning he believes in the Qur'an. And he learns the Qur'an. And he even recites the Qur'an, but he doesn't reflect upon it. And he just reads it casually, without reflection or contemplation upon the meanings of the Qur'an. And perhaps, he said, another situation is the person who what? The person who might reflect upon the Qur'an, meaning he believes in it, and he learns it, and he recites it, and he reflects upon it, but he doesn't act upon it. Naam, he reads, recites, reflects, he learns, he studies the Quran, but he doesn't act upon it. So it is not lawful. Or he doesn't take as lawful, I'm sorry. He doesn't take as lawful, and he doesn't act upon the Quran, meaning he doesn't take as lawful that which the Quran says is halal. And he doesn't take as unlawful that which the Quran says is haram. And he doesn't take his judgments or rulings from the Quran. And he doesn't use the Quran as a judge between he and others who have disputes. And he doesn't seek healing from the Quran, from the sicknesses of the heart. And the sicknesses of the body, physical sicknesses. So the abandonment of the Quran occurs from this person or from any person to the extent that he is described with any of these conditions. Yani the one who doesn't even believe in the Quran, or the one who believes in the Quran but he doesn't learn the Quran, or the one who believes in the Quran, he learns the Quran but he doesn't recite the Quran, or he doesn't reflect upon the Quran, or he doesn't act upon the Quran. Any one of these levels of abandonment, yani is considered that the person has abandoned the Quran, except that of course some of them are worse than others. So it is incumbent, the Shaykh says, so it is incumbent upon the person to observe taqwa of Allah in himself, yani to fear Allah in reference to the Quran and abandonment of the Quran, and to be eager and diligent in seeking to benefit from the Qur'an in all of the aspects that one may benefit from the Qur'an in. And he should know that a lot of goodness will pass him by in accordance with the extent to which he is described with abandonment of the Qur'an. Yani on whatever level it is, even if it's the least of those levels, the person who abandons the Quran in any way whatsoever, know indeed that a lot of khair has passed you by. As far as the recitation of the Quran, they ended their answer by saying, as far as the recitation of the Quran, then what is legislated and what is commendable is that a person recite the Quran frequently. And that they try to complete the reading of the Quran at least once in the course of a month. However, this is not obligatory to complete the Quran every month. But this is commendable. And it is recommended. And it is legislated. And then they ended by saying, success is from Allah. And may the salat and salam be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, and his family and his companions. And we'll close with one other fatwa from the Lajna Daima, the standing committee, related to the Quran. Yani that it's incumbent that a person give care and constant attention to the Quran so that they will not forget it. The question is, what is the ruling concerning the person who has memorized the Quran by heart and then they forget it? Are they punished because of this or not? Yani, what is the condition of the person who memorized the Quran and then forgot it? What is the condition of the person who memorized something from the Quran, some surahs of the Quran, and then they forgot it? Yani, is this something that's acceptable? Is it blameworthy? Is it punishable that a person memorized something from the Quran and then they just are careless to the extent that they forgot it or were caused to forget it? They said, yani praising Allah alone and the salat and salam on the Messenger of Allah and his family and his companions. After this they said, the Quran is the speech of Allah. Al-Quran kalamullah ta'ala. Wa huwa afdal al-kalam wa majma' al-ahkam wa tilawatuhu ibadah. That the Quran is the speech of Allah, the Most High, and it is the best of speech, and it is the source of ahkam, legal rulings, and its recitation is worship. And reciting the Quran is worship. And through it, through the recitation of the Quran, hearts are softened, and the souls of the human beings are humbled in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many other benefits from the Quran which are too many to enumerate. There are too many to enumerate. But indeed, from the important matters that the Shaykh has mentioned, is that the hearts are softened by recitation of the Quran, and the souls are humbled by recitation of the Quran. In addition to the benefits of knowledge of ahkam that are contained in the Quran. Indeed, the Quran is the speech of Allah, and it is the best of speech. So for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ commanded that a person be constant in giving care and attention to the reading of Quran, so that they will not forget it. And he said in the hadith as reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, تَعَاهَدُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَهُوَ أَشَدُّ تَفَلُّتًا مِنَ الْإِبْلِ فِي عُقُلِهَا. Be constant, continuous, regular in the recitation of the Quran, of this Quran. For he said, I swear by the one in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad. Indeed, the Quran escapes, yani from the person who doesn't constantly review it, it escapes from them faster than the camel that is released from the rope that they tie his feet with. If you release that rope, he's gone. And likewise, if a person doesn't hold the Quran by constantly attending to it, reviewing it, reading it, also it will escape quickly. It will escape quickly. فَلَا يَلِيكُ بِالْحَافِظْ لَهُ. And therefore it is not proper, it is not suitable, it is not appropriate, it is not expected. It's not yani proper for the person who has memorized the Quran to neglect its recitation and to fall short in committing oneself to constantly reviewing it. Yani whoever has memorized something of the Quran, whether the whole of the Quran or a portion of it, it is not proper, it's not befitting of a person who has memorized the Quran or some portion of it to abandon it. Yani to neglect it. To not be constant in reviewing it. Rather, what is expected is that he appoint for himself a certain portion, daily portion of the Quran that he will recite regularly, and this will help him to master that which he has memorized and to come between him and forgetting. Yani by taking a portion of the Quran, whether it's 1 page or 10 pages or 20 pages or whatever you have memorized, some portion of it every day, so that you recite it and read it and review it every day, then this will help you to retain it and it will protect you from forgetting it. And a person should do this not only so that they won't forget the Quran, but also hoping for its reward and for the benefit of its rulings that are contained in the Quran, whether related to our aqidah or whether related to our ibadah. However, they said in the end, whoever memorized something of the Quran, and this is a proof that they are not, that this ruling is not applicable only to those who have memorized the whole of the Quran. They said, وَلَكِنْ مَنْ حَفِظَ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Whatever you have memorized, even if it's a little amount, whoever has memorized anything from the Quran and then they forgot it due to being busied by other things or due to unmindfulness, then this is not a sin against that person. And what has been narrated concerning the threat and of punishment for the person who has forgot something of the Quran, yani that they have memorized, and the hadith concerning this, the threat of punishment for the person who forgot something they memorized from the Quran, is not authentic. And the hadith concerning a person who memorized Quran and then forgets something, that they will be punished, this is not authentic hadith. However, there's no doubt that a person who has memorized the Quran, they should attend to it, they should appreciate and be thankful for whatever Allah has allowed them to memorize, and they should not be careless with it and be neglectful of it and allow it to be forgotten. And then they ended by saying, success is from Allah. And may the salat and salam be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family and his companions, all of them. Now, and inshallah, there's maybe a couple of minutes, inshallah, just quickly. I would like to, since we have just a few minutes remaining, I would like to quickly, yani, just review one last matter concerning good deeds that have been abandoned. Of those who know the reward of these good deeds, this is a statement from Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, concerning the voluntary prayers. We should know, he said, no, اعلموا أن ربكم سبحانه وتعالى شرع لكم بجانب فرائد الصلوات التقرب إليه بالنوافل الصلوات. Know that your Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has legislated for you, in addition to the obligatory prayers, a means of nearness to him through voluntary prayers. So the voluntary prayers, yani performing prayers voluntarily, this is from the best of things that make bring a person near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after al-jihad fi sabilillah and talib al-ilm. Yani this is from the best of deeds that a person can do after al-jihad and seeking knowledge. And this is due to the constant care that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regularly, consistently used to seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through voluntary prayers. And he said in an authentic hadith, he said, استقيموا ولن تحصوا, that be constant and continuous in uprightness, in doing righteousness, but know that you will not be able to complete or perfect this. You will not be able to do it fully. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ خَيْرَ عَمَالِكُمْ الصَّلَاةِ, and know that from the best of your deeds is salah. And the salah combines within it all types of worship, including recitation of the Qur'an, bowing and prostration, supplication, humbling oneself to Allah, humble submission and obedience to Allah, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala secretly, saying takbir, declaring the greatness of Allah, declaring Allah's imperfection, Allah's free from imperfection, and the salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in addition to other things. That the salat includes all of these various types of worship. And then the Shaykh says that the voluntary prayers are divided into two types: those which are specified at particular times, and those which do not have any specific time. And then he goes on to discuss some of those prayers. And from amongst those prayers that the Shaykh mentions, and he mentions a number of different types of prayers, but for the sake of time, and we will skip past that, and go to the end of what he said. He said, yani concerning yani the rawatib, yani the sunnah prayers that are before and after, that are regularly performed before and after the obligatory prayers. He said, know, O my brothers, that the sunnah prayers, the ratiba, the sunan ar-ratiba, that are regularly performed before, after the five obligatory prayers, يَتَأَكَّدُ فِعْلُهَا وَيُكْرَهُ تَرْكُهَا, that these voluntary prayers, sunnah prayers, ratiba, yani that are performed with the five obligatory prayers, yani two or four rak'ah before dhuhr, and two rak'ah after dhuhr, and two rak'ah after maghrib, and two rak'ah after isha, and two rak'ah before fajr, he said these prayers, doing them is a confirmed matter, and abandoning them is detestable. Abandoning them is detestable. وَمَنْ دَاوَمَ عَلَى تَرْكِهَا سَقَطَتْ عَدَالَتُهُ عِنْدَ بَعْدِ الْأَئِمَّةِ, yani the person who constantly, continuously abandons these sunnah prayers, his adala, yani his integrity, yani his uprightness, his respect and acceptability, yani is lost. According to some of the imams, meaning the imams, the great scholars of Islam, this type of person, in the old days, his testimony wouldn't be accepted. by what? The person who abandons the sunnah prayers. And this is sinful. And he falls into sin due to this, to abandoning these prayers. And this is because constantly, continuously abandoning these prayers, تَدُلُّ عَلَى كِلَّةِ دِينِهِ وَعَدَمْ مُبَالَاتِهِ. This indicates that a person's deen is weak and that he doesn't have care or concern for his deen. And then the Shaykh mentions, yani these voluntary prayers, yani with Dhuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha and Fajr, he mentions the amount of rak'ah, and then he says, and this is what we're going to close with, O Muslim, protect and preserve these sunan al-ratibah, al-rawatib, protect and preserve them, guard them, attend to them. Because in doing so, you are following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And indeed, you have in the Messenger of Allah an excellent example, a good example for whoever has hope in Allah in the last day and who remembers Allah much. And in guarding and protecting and preserving these as-sunan, ar-ratib, ar-rawatib, yani these sunnah prayers that are performed before and after, the five obligatory prayers, also there's a mending or a fixing of whatever shortcoming has occurred in your performance of the obligatory prayers. Whatever defect is in your obligatory prayers is mended, it is fixed by the performance of the voluntary prayers. And a person is subject to defect and shortcoming in his prayers, in his actions, and whatever it may be. And he is in need of something to mend this shortcoming or this defect. So do not, yani, fall short in reference to these ratiba or rawatib, O Muslim. Don't fall short in the performance of these prayers. For indeed, in these prayers, there is an increase in khair for you that you will find with your Rabb. And the Shaykh ends by saying, and likewise, yani, for every obligatory duty, beside it, there is legislated a voluntary duty of its same type. Like the obligatory prayers, and obligatory fasting, and obligatory zakat, and obligatory hajj, yani, every one of these obligatory duties has legislated along with it a voluntary duty or voluntary act that is of its same type. And these voluntary duties mend the defects in the obligatory duties, and they rectify the faults in the obligatory duties. And indeed, this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His servants. Yani, in that, He has given us various types of acts of obedience to engage in order to raise up the degrees, the person's station with Allah, and also to remove their sins. And we ask Allah for everyone that Allah grant them tawfiq to do that which He loves and that which He is pleased with. Indeed, He is the one who hears and He responds. Naam. So, yani, these are some comments from some of the scholars concerning the importance of the voluntary duties, things which are not obligatory, but it is incumbent upon the Muslim, especially the people of knowledge, especially the people of Sunnah, to actively, diligently pursue these matters and to guard and protect the observation and performance of them and to take care with these matters. Indeed, these are things that are beloved by Allah and they should be beloved by the believer, and the one who constantly, continuously abandons them, this is a sign of carelessness. This is a sign of carelessness. This is not a good sign. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question, inshallah, comment.
Yeah, two questions. One from
No. No. Yani, the person who recites the Quran from memory, is the reward the same as the one who reads from the Mus'haf? That's the question. Yes. Person got up in the night and they're performing prayer and they're reciting Quran in prayer. Naam. Whoever recites one letter of the Quran, whether they're reading from the Mus'haf or they're reciting from memory, they will get the reward of one hasana being recorded for them, and every hasana will be multiplied to 10 like it. No matter if a person is reading from the Mus'haf or they are reciting from memory. Naam. Whoever reads one letter from the Quran. Naam.
Okay, the other question is, if a person comes into the masjid and leaves the congregation after that, and you call the Iqamah after,
Allahu alam if that's from error, but the iqama is legislated for the congregational prayer, not for individual prayer. The Iqamah is saying that we are about to establish the prayer. And if the adhan and Iqamah, the adhan is announcement of the time of prayer, and the Iqamah is to announce that the congregational prayer is to begin. But if a person is alone, I mean, they can still call the adhan. There's no harm in calling the adhan. Perhaps it may be rewarded. If a person is alone and they are performing prayer alone and they call the adhan, inshallah there is reward, because the words of the adhan is dhikr, it's remembrance of Allah and praise of Allah.
I want to know, because someone told me it was error, and I didn't read much of that myself, so I just wanted to know.
I don't recall any fatwa concerning this, but as I said, there's no doubt that the adhan and iqamah has been legislated for the congregational prayer, not for individual prayer. And there's no need to call adhan or iqamah in the masjid where it has already been called. But to say that it is error, Allahu alam. Allahu alam. Naam? Naam? He did what? Naam. Said that the hadith of the man who came into the masjid and missed the congregational prayer in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the man stood up to pray by himself, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Who will give sadaqah to this man?" Meaning, who will pray with him? And from the people who already performed the prayer in congregation. And a man stood and prayed with him. And there's no mention of calling the iqamah. There's no mention that that person called the iqamah, that they called the iqamah again. And perhaps this is a suggestion that it's not legislated to call the iqamah. Rather, it's sufficient. The adhan and iqamah that has already been called is sufficient. And whoever came after that, they should just pray. And they should not, and Allah knows best, form a new congregation, except if it is like this, that the person is praying by themselves and somebody who already performed the congregational prayer joins them. As far as other people who came late and they make a new congregation, this is not really correct. Even though there are some scholars who say it's permissible, but the evidence is clearly in contradiction to making a second congregational prayer in the masjid where it has already been performed. The evidence clearly refutes this. Many evidences that there's no second congregational prayer. And this is the exception to it. The person who came to pray alone and somebody who performed the congregational prayer. Not the person who came late also, but a person who performed the congregational prayer, joining them, giving them sadaqah. And this is a matter about which there's difference of opinion, but Allah knows best that the evidences that are against performing the second congregational prayer are strong, far away the evidence of those who claim that it's permissible to make a second congregational prayer. Wa iyyakum. Naam. Again, I mean, some scholars hold this opinion. So if a person is following that opinion, we don't blame them. But actually, this is not the strongest opinion. Rather, the strongest opinion is that there's no second congregation in the masjid where the congregation of prayer has already been performed. Well, I think the point that Abdulaziz is making is that in that hadith, it happened in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ. And since there's no mention of the Iqamah, if it was legislated to call the Iqamah, then we expect that the Prophet ﷺ would have told them that you have to call the Iqamah. And he didn't tell them that. There's no mention of him, of them calling the Iqamah, or he telling them to do so. Allah knows this. Wa iyyakum. طيب what I know, and Allah knows best, yani, is that the adhan and iqamah is legislated to be called for the congregational prayer. And if it has already been called, it's not necessary to call it again at home. It has been called. Yani, the announcement has already been made. The prayer has already been established. A person praying alone is not obligated to call adhan or iqamah. Faith. Allahu A'lam. I mean, again, it depends. Like, there are some people, there are some scholars who hold the view of the permissibility of a second congregational prayer. So whoever holds that it's permissible, then their condition is different. But whoever believes that it's not permissible to have a second congregational prayer, then it's not permissible. It's not legislated. It should not be happening. You know? So because there's difference of opinion about it, then I'm saying a person might follow this opinion or that opinion. But as I see it, and Allah knows best, the strongest opinion based on clear evidence is that second congregational prayer is not legislated. Not legislated. Should not be happening. People should not be doing that. You know? But that's the same thing. That's the second congregation. Congregation already been performed. Hello? I mean, Allahu A'lam, person might move them away from him. Person might leave them, whatever. But it's not correct, you know. It's not correct that that happened. No. Wa alaikum salam.
A lot of times, Mufid Farooq, specifically for anything, prayer.